requirement?
I don't know. Government telling children what to wear threatens parents' sense of authority. We could buy them all ant farms so they can keep feeling like jealous, pathetic gods.
Mm-hmm.
I do admire the rich tradition of chasing a doctor with his bag of tricks out of town, but usually everyone doesn't run to that same doctor a few weeks later begging to be put on a ventilator.
You know, maybe these parents are afraid masks will constrict their children's breathing while sprinting away from school shooters.
Maybe
that's what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
right,
it.
It could be that. Now, in Texas, Republican governor and electrical grid duct taper Greg Abbott is opposing mask mandates, even though hospitals are overrun. The Republican governor has directed the Texas Department of State Health Services to use staffing agencies to find additional medical staff from beyond the state's borders as the Delta wave began to overwhelm its present staffing resources. Caddy, is there anything that captures Texas's spirit of self-reliance more than begging other states to come take care of you like a little helpless baby?
Yeah, I mean, it is ironic. It's a bit like you've got a fire going on and you throw kerosene with one hand and you have a hose pipe in the other hand. And I think Republicans, it's going to be an interesting question. Do Republicans at some point turn around and say to the governors of Texas and Florida, look, you're not actually helping the party's fortunes if you are seen to take positions that potentially puts children at risk?
Take off that mask. You don't need it.
Back in the classroom and back in court in Austin, Texas, parents and educators caught up in a legal fight over masks. NBC News Now correspondent Priscilla Thompson is in Austin, Texas. But first, Priscilla, you got some breaking news. Texas Governor Greg Abbott just tested positive for COVID. What's the governor's office saying?
That's right, Allison. That statement coming out just a short while ago saying that the governor did test positive. He is currently isolating.
I'll take my mask off if you take your mask off, you son of a bitch.
Experts are now saying that due to the Delta variant, the fourth wave of COVID-19 in the U.S. could be worse than the third. This COVID news comes from director of the National Institutes of Health and infectious disease prop comic, Francis Collins. Yesterday, Dr. Collins broke down just how bad this could get.
I will be surprised if we don't cross 200,000 cases a day in the next couple of weeks. And that's heartbreaking, considering we never thought we would be back in that space again.
No! We cannot go back in that space again, or else I have to go back to this space again. And if I'm going there, you're all coming with me. I'll fit you in, even if I have to chop you up into cubes and stack you like Legos. I will not be alone again. Delta is taking a huge toll on the unvaccinated, a group that includes children and people acting like children. And the rest of us are starting to get pissed off. In a new CBS YouGov Meet Tarzan poll, among Californians who've gotten their shots, 59% say the unvaccinated are putting people like me at risk, while 47% say the unvaccinated make me upset or angry. Upset or angry? Why choose? Those are two great flavors that go great together, like peanut butter and bourbon. It's been a long pandemic. Now, because of the Delta surge starting today, New York City is requiring proof of vaccination for indoor dining, gyms, and entertainment. I'm so happy I'm vaccinated for two of those three. If my gym asks, I'm scared of Bill Gates. Now, if you're in the city and want to attend a premier cultural institution like, let's say, the Ed Sullivan Theater, you can simply show your vaccination card, and they will check to make sure it's real. It's got to have the CDC logo and be all bent up from being too big for your wallet. And it's important because, you see, fake vaccine cards are out there. Over the weekend, federal agencies seized thousands of fake COVID vaccination cards destined for locations across the U.S. They became suspicious when they noticed the forms had errors, including misspellings, unfinished words, and incorrect Spanish translations. So do not trust any card that claims to show porf of vaccination against el COVID loco. Now, anti-vaxxers have all kinds of stupid reasons they oppose getting their shots, but maybe the stupidest of the stupid is that they think their pure semen will skyrocket in value. I guess that spam email was telling the truth. You really can make loads of money from home.
Reports. Some anti-vaxxers think that their pure semen will skyrocket in value and become the next Bitcoin. They believe that as the vaccinated population eventually crumbles, the unvaccinated will have to repopulate the planet, making their sperm a valuable commodity. This despite numerous studies showing the vaccine is safe for men and does not affect sperm production or quality.
Are you looking for 100% anti-vax man seed? Then visit Gary's Man Seed Emporium today and get high-quality anti-vax gentleman relish at rock-bottom prices. How do I do it? I can't really say on television. But rest assured, my man seed is completely vaccine-free. Not only have I refused every medical breakthrough, but I only produced my premium formula using anti-science porn with such titles as Debbie Does Her Own YouTube Research, Flat Earth Round Butt, 5G Spot, Deep Throat Steak, Pizzagate Delivery Guy, and of course, Two Girls, One Conspiracy. So stop by Gary's Anti-Vax Man Seed Emporium today, where I always make my premium custard the old-fashioned way, by hand.
It should be noted that studies have definitively shown that getting vaccinated does not, in fact, affect sperm quality or count. But some COVID truthers have claimed that the vaccine causes mass male infertility and that all males who have been vaccinated are effectively sterile. Sounds fishy, but I will point out they vaccinated people over 75 first, and ever since, none of them have had any kids. Now, with quality sperm supposedly hard to find, anti-vaxxers think unvaccinated sperm will be the next Bitcoin. So for the first time ever, you could invest in a spank bank.
As the U.S. continues to fight the outbreak of the Delta variant, doctors are now raising the alarm over yet another strain of coronavirus spreading across the country, the Lambda variant. So what exactly do we know about Lambda, and will it be as dangerous as Delta? Let's find out now in a segment called Getting to Know the Lambda Variant. Was first identified in Peru in August of 2020. Has officially been classified by the WHO as a global variant of interest. Is definitely a virus, and not that new John Grisham novel your dad is reading. Originally rushed Delta, but didn't get in. We'll be in Provincetown on Labor Day weekend if you want to go in on an Airbnb together. Already visited Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, France, Spain, Chile, Argentina, the UK, and Canada, and it's only halfway through its gap year. Says the Johnson & Johnson vaccine tickles. Is considered a cousin to the Alpha variant, so don't tell anyone they kissed that one time at a family reunion. Just RSVP'd yes to 3,000 August weddings. Already an early favorite for Governor DeSantis's VP if he runs for president in 2024. Just got cast in the next three seasons of Grey's Anatomy. And finally said it would F Moderna, marry Pfizer, and kill unvaccinated people. This has been Getting to Know the Lambda variant.
You said at one point this COVID will have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Where are we in that process? Is this the end of the beginning of the end, or the middle of the middle? Okay.
So, first of all, we're a lot better off than we were a year ago. I mean, think what's happened in the last year, Stephen. We have this astonishingly effective and safe vaccine. We have therapeutics. We have the remdesivir, we have monoclonal antibodies, we have steroids. We now know so much more, thanks to the aerosol scientists, bless them, about how to protect ourselves through ventilation and filtration. Remember a year ago we were talking about how, well, 6 feet, if you were 6 feet or more from somebody, you'd be safe. And now the aerosol scientists taught us that, no. These viruses can float across the room in aerosols, and over time they can build up, especially if there's not good ventilation. And so you have to think about it more like cigarette smoke. If you were inside without a mask and there was somebody smoking 15 feet away, could you smell it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then the virus can get you. And then we learned about masks. Lots of studies, they're tough to do perfectly, but we know that they've concluded that masks are effective. The better the mask, the more effective. And then finally, testing. Remember, a year ago, we didn't really have enough tests. We still don't really have enough tests, but now we have home testing, and we've got to implement those more. So beginning of May, everything looked like it was going great. My niece had a wedding and that was indoors with 143 people, and nobody was masked, and everybody was vaccinated, and we thought, okay, we're out of the woods, and then all of a sudden, not so fast. And the not so fast was because of two things. One is Delta. Back in May, Delta was 1% of the number of cases.
I remember when we first started talking about it.
Yeah, and now It's more than 90%. It's one of these variants, and it's much more dangerous. It's 1,000 times the concentration of virus in the nose as the original.
More dangerous in that it spreads faster, or more dangerous that if you get it, you're more likely to be seriously ill if you're not vaccinated?
Yeah, great question, because it's probably both. So it's definitely more contagious. So it turns out that the original, the alpha strain, the last variant, one person could infect two people. Now one person can infect five people. So that's a big deal.
But then when they get it, are you more likely to be seriously ill is the question.
Yes. It looks like there's some evidence from other countries that you probably are actually, you have the ability to be more severely ill.
Because so it reproduces faster?
You know, we don't really know exactly why that is.
I hear a lot about a bigger viral load.
There is a bigger viral load. So remember, we talked about 1,000 times more virus in the nose. So it's able to infect people more viciously. But the question is, once you're infected, do you get sicker? And it looks like, yes, you probably do get sicker. So you have the double whammy of that. And then we have another thing that came in, which was the second of the double whammy of new things that we weren't expecting to be so bad, which is we not only have COVID, but we have an epidemic of misinformation, disinformation. Two of those have come together, and they have knocked us for a loop. And so, yes, we're a lot better than we were a year ago, but we're not where we should be.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Radio.
This is Forest Radio Optimized in Special English on VOP, broadcasting at 12.05 and 6.11 megahertz. Welcome to the VOP Annual Optimism Roundup. In today's program, we tap the Global Happiness Index and explore what people around the world are most optimistic about this year. We also hear from a music scientist in Finland who tells us about the happiest chords and their profound effect. And from a man with an accent.
Things can't get worse.
VOP Optimism in Science Special English Report. Professor Erki Ruohomakis is a music scientist at Oulu University's Music Laboratories. He has spent a lifetime researching the effect of music on mood. Antoni Prinki from our Finnish division reports.
Iloisimpia sointuja on etsitty.
Throughout the history of music, the most happiest chords have been in constant church by composers and musicians. Music reflects the emotions of human beings, and the pursuit for well-being is seen also in the arts of music. With today's modern technology, it's easy to separate different frequencies, which causes the feelings of happiness or the feelings of sorrow. This has been proven with clinical research using dogs. As essential as the chords is the sequence of the chords. Now we are watching a basic C major chord through an oscillator, and after C we play E minor, which quite surprisingly causes same feelings of happiness in the control group as the major chord. Then we carry on with this linear function to the G chord. And the sequence culminates in B major 5. So, this is the happiest chord sequence. But what is the saddest chord sequence then?
No.
Like often in science, many significant inventions have been discovered by accidentally. So was the case here in Oulu University. The researchers had an accident when recording the chords. While taping the music, the notes were fed into the synthesizer in accidentally in opposite order. And when playing the wrong sequence to the dogs, they started to howl and whine, and after that they declined in apathetic state. So the conclusion is that the unhappiest chord sequence has exactly the same chords as the most happiest sequence, but in the opposite order.
Yliopistossa kuitenkin lakkauttaa, ja tällä hetkellä tutkimme revontulien sihinää.
Optimism in the community. The optimist will declare that this world is half alive, while the pessimist will declare that the world is half dead. Of course, everyone else knows we're already dead. In today's program, Optimism in the Community.
Hello.
An immigrant who spoke little English and let go of the old way. And the unexpected happened, with predictable results. For his lack of English kept him impoverished.
Hello.
He spoke good English, but with an accent.
Hello.
Can you understand him?
No good.
Learning English?
A little.
You working?
Yeah, working.
Hello.
What's so funny?
You talk weird. Listen to your stupid accent.
You missed your family, don't you? It's hard being alone.
Yeah, alone. Hard alone.
Do you speak English?
A little.
Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Do you earn much money?
Oh, yeah, so much money.
Speak English.
Hello.
What's he even saying?
Can you translate what he's saying?
As I'm an optimist, I'm going to make it real this year. To speak English fluently and to get a job.
Hello.
And improve speaking English. And visit Singapore and Malaysia. On Facebook.
Hello.
I don't understand you. I don't want all this culture. Too much culture. Tearing us apart. Making us different. It's not fair that some people have so much culture and others have very little. We need to balance it out. Too much culture. Too much culture.
I'm optimistic that culture will be eradicated someday. Someday, there won't be any cultural differences.
No more culture.
No more culture.
No.
Culture is the culture of yesterday. No culture is the new culture. Anti-culture is the culture of tomorrow. Down with culture.
Down with culture.
Down with culture.
Culture.
Down with culture.
Up with hegemony.
Up with hegemony.
Down with culture.
Ha ha ha. English spoken.
Down with culture. I want culture to disappear.
Down with culture. Down with culture.
Multiculturalism is a vacuum. East and West will never work. Look at yourselves. It's a complete failure.
Down with culture.
Push you back into the sand.
When it comes to positive emotions.
So you might be asking, where are the happiest people on the planet?
Global tracking of happiness. Do you feel happy right now? Are you happy with your life as a whole?
As a whole. Focused on a person's life as a whole. Please share your happiness level and the happiness level of your country.
I was cooking chicken, but it burned. My husband come home and hit me, he say, I've never learned. I say, go to hell, and he say, what's that smell? I said, I was cooking chicken, but it burned. I was cooking chicken, and I never learned. I was cooking chicken, I let the plastic burn. My husband is mad at hell, he always say, what that smell? I made the chicken burn. I made the chicken burn. I made the chicken burn. I make chicken burn, I make my husband mad. I make him so mad, he say, what that smell? Go to hell, my husband. And the chicken go to hell, everybody go to hell.
They love what they do. And
they love their chicken in cans, and I agree with her because we were looking for easy. That sounded very interesting. At any rate, everybody's got a smile on their face.
You're welcome to the 21st century.
That's really the problem.
Victim. Victim. Victim.
A woman and her daughter from Denver, Colorado, have created a huge flag from more than 3,000 pieces of high school students from across the country. The International Association of the Horrible Events say they want to use 3,000 pieces of the high school students in their remembrance ceremonies. They will remember the horrible events and will place 3,000 pieces of high school students in a pool of water.
Yeah, right on.
In the next few days, the United States says it will broadcast pieces of culture in a crowded area to help use countries that love democracy. Thursday.
Wow. Just wow. Just wow. Just wow. Just wow.
Fear and trembling. That's what this program celebrates. Now for broadcast around the Earth. Here is program number 3,259 in the series
Speak English.
This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from... I find beauty in the ugly. I find life in decay. I find treasure in the discarded. I like old chairs and zombie films. That's why I'm moving to Homs, Syria with my urban exploration freegan anarcho-goth friends and joining ISIS. I can't wait to explore abandoned buildings and relish in all the decay that's out there while sticking it to the man. So dreamy. Fight for social justice, LGBT rights, sustainability, and progressive economic policy with ISIS. Sign up today at our Williamsburg, Brooklyn headquarters, located at 90 North 11th Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11249. Just a few short blocks from the Bedford Avenue L train stop. ISIS. And from MDMA TA Producer. It's not just music. You're listening to NPR, Emerging Global Consciousness. Today, we speak to a punk group with a purpose. Down With Culture are a punk band lending a helping hand to countries who might not yet have a democracy.
Tell your people not to cry. Someday they might want to try democracy. What's up, bro? Have a revolution. Right now, we want to see all the governments of the world replaced and install free government. Yeah.
Gary is the lead singer for Down With Culture.
Yeah.
Tell us about the name of the group. How did that come to be?
It's an actual movement. Some people think it means that we are down with culture, but actually we are saying down with culture. See? A lot of our fans think we are a Christian band, but we're not. But we could be.
Now, the word on the street is that you're claiming you are better than some of the other democracy groups around today, such as Pussy Riot.
That's right.
Why is that?
They only have 7 songs. We have 12, so we are better.
I know you have quite a remarkable following. What do you think the group's appeal is?
We want to inspire groups of young people to throw away their traditional cultures and oppressive governments.
In 2009, the American Development Aid Organization, USAID, began to fund and research ways to reach youth in specific rogue countries and tap into culture and subculture to encourage positive response. The USAID Punk Division is run by a ragtag collection of Serbian contractors who work closely with the CIA and other intelligence organizations to infiltrate culture worldwide. in order to undermine governments who are not compliant to the established ideas of democracy. The idea is to build a network of young people seeking social change to spark a youth movement against their government through the message of the music.
3, 4.
It was a dark, stormy night as the train rattled on. All the passengers had gone to bed, except a young man with a baby in his arms sat there with a bowed down head. The innocent one began crying just then, as though its poor heart would break. One angry man said, make that child stop its noise, for it's keeping all of us away.
Wow, it's hot here in the Love Shack. You're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Hudson, Catskill.
Honey, did you know the Rolf Jansen Community Library serves Ankrum, Copake, and Hillsdale?
As a matter of fact, I did know that. Ask me another.
Did you know that the Rojan Library has thousands of books, audiobooks, DVDs, and music CDs you can enjoy for free?
Yep, I knew that too.
Did you know that the Rojan Library puts on dozens of special programs like concerts and lectures, story time for kids, and seminars on computer skills and estate planning?
Uh-huh.
Well, Smarty Pants, is there anything about the Rojan Library you don't know?
Yeah, how do they get all that great stuff done with just 3 employees?
It's all about the volunteers. The library depends on volunteers for everything from working the circulation desk to staffing special events. They can always use more help.
Sounds like fun. How can I become a volunteer?
Just go to the library's website at rojanlibrary.org and click on the volunteer tab.
Hey, I knew that.
Sure you did.
WGXE underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Judd Malton of Hillsdale, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're tuned to Radio Art, creative transmissions, sound experiments, noise, and more on WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA.
After decades of war, Afghans deserve peace. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. After 2 decades of U.S. war, occupation, and bloodshed in Afghanistan, the Biden administration has been faulted for not predicting the speed with which the Afghan government, propped up by the American military and trillions of U.S. taxpayer dollars, would collapse.
The enmity with parties to the conflict are over.
That's Taliban spokesperson Zabihullah Mujahid speaking in a news conference from Kabul on Tuesday.
An inclusive government should be formed, and all parties and Afghans should participate in it.
Mujahid was speaking from the office last held by Dawah Khan Manipal, who was assassinated by the Taliban 10 days earlier during Friday prayers. Manipal was a chief spokesperson for President Ghani's government. Responding on the Democracy Now! NewsHour, Kabul-based Afghan journalist Bilal Sarwawi said,
"And the Afghan people would like to know, you know, where this road now leads, because people are thirsty for a political settlement. People are thirsty for peace."
Bilal was a refugee from the Afghan civil war of the 1990s, which in turn followed the bloody war with the Soviet Union. He learned English in Peshawar, Pakistan, and returned in 2001 as a TV news crew's fixer as the U.S. invasion began following the 9/11 attacks. Through 20 years of war and occupation, he grew into a seasoned frontline journalist. In a recent piece published in The Telegraph, Bilal described the impact covering violence has had. He said, "It has broken me from within. The number of coffins going back to small villages and valleys, that has been the worst feeling, like 1,000 sharp knives stabbing your heart," he said. Members of Congress have promised investigations into the flawed U.S. retreat. They should look at not just the past 2 weeks or 2 months, but at the whole 2 decades of this disastrous war and occupation. The Watson Institute estimates over 47,000 Afghan civilians were killed and over 75,000 injured during the war. The U.S. Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction calls these numbers both likely significant underestimations. Close to 70,000 Afghan soldiers and police have been killed, 50,000 Taliban and other opposition fighters, over 2,400 U.S. service members, and close to 4,000 U.S. contractors, including journalists, aid workers, and NATO soldiers killed, totaling at least 170,000 people killed overall. Amidst the chaos of the frantic U.S. withdrawal this week, several people clung to the outside of large U.S. military planes during takeoff, eventually plummeting to their deaths or dying in transit in an airplane wheel well. U.S. soldiers are reportedly conferring with Taliban forces to maintain order at the Kabul airport, and both groups have killed a number of civilians desperately vying for a flight out of the country. Matthew Ho was the first U.S. State Department official known to resign in protest over the Afghan war in 2009. He described the failed U.S. strategy in Afghanistan on Democracy Now!
Bombing villages and doing night raids, sending commandos 20 times a night into Afghan villages to kick in doors and kill people. And you saw the results of that. The result of that was every year the Taliban got stronger. Every year the Taliban gained more support.
Ho is not optimistic, adding,
"I think the only thing more tragic than what's happened to the Afghan people is that in a few days, America will have forgotten Afghanistan again."
Afghans won't forget the U.S., though. Zahra Nader is a graduate student in Toronto, Canada. Born in Bamiyan, Afghanistan, she fled to Iran with her family, where she grew up as a refugee, unable to attend school. They returned to Afghanistan in 2004, and after only a few years of schooling, became a reporter, eventually writing for the New York Times. Zahra left that dream job to move to Canada to ensure her young son had more opportunity than she had as a child. In a phone conversation, Zahra offered a damning summary of the U.S. role in Afghanistan, starting with the late 1970s. She said,
The U.S. Supported Afghan Mujahideen, the Islamist fundamentalist group in Afghanistan, to fight a proxy war with the Soviets. So this happening with the direct U.S. support, the rise of the fundamentalists in Afghanistan. Until 2001, the situation of women's rights, the situation of human rights, did not matter to anybody in the U.S. or other Western countries. When the situation of Afghan women became a deal, when it became a big deal, in 2001, when the 9/11 happened. Before then, it seemed that we did not exist. They used us to frame their war.
For Zahra Nader, for Bilal Sarwari, and tens of millions of Afghans, the difficult task of rebuilding is beginning anew. The United States has a responsibility to support these efforts without trying to control them. The U.S. should also learn finally, as the most recent empire to flee Afghanistan, that you can't bomb your way to peace. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
And now here is your WGXC weather update.
Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, isolated showers between 9 a.m. and noon, then scattered showers and thunderstorms afternoon. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature high near 83 degrees. And Saturday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a temperature low of around 68 degrees. And on Sunday, a chance of showers before 2 p.m., then a chance of rain and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 80 degrees. And Sunday night, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a temperature high of around 67 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio alive. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. Well, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money, and then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
The satellite is plain, twisted in a grain. Sundays on the canyon floor. But I can hear you loud and clear through the static and the beam. And the squelch is music all the way. This howler divine is Broad Street hollow rhymes, crazed up. Thank you.
go, 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 go.